2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
This is the NBA Daily Dispatch, brought to you by the good folks over at DFSArmy.com. Hey, if you're not signed up with us, what a better time than now to do so. Use the promo code PODCAST. That gets you 20% off each month of your subscription. With that, you get 24/7 access to the best DFS Slack chat in the business with all of our coaches, pros, and like-minded players. Boomer's Ballers Cheat Sheet, breaking down the positions each day. You get updated projections, which run through 1,000 simulations each day for pure accuracy. And, of course, the Domination Station, which is perfect for all you 9-to-5ers that can't do research throughout the day. Once again, DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code PODCAST. I am Al Walsh, the host on this sumbitch, and you can find me on Twitter at 14a.Walsh. You can find Keith Hall, who's always in the cockpit alongside, at Boomer's DFS Daddy. Now, Keith, as a small open here today, we got a pretty healthy game. Pretty heavy slate of games here today, but so I had an issue yesterday, right? You know me, I do my one lineup each night, and I let it ride like that. So what happened was, you know, I set my placeholder lineups early in the morning. I make sure that I do so with accuracy, so that you know I don't have any injured people in there.
In case shit happens and shit hits the fan, you're still alive.
Indeed, indeed.
Which is what we tell everybody to do, by the way.
Absolutely, and the placeholder lineup. Now I meant to put the one that I was doing, you know, but, and the funny part is too, I was done with my lineup there about 15 minutes before lock. So whatever happened, I just forgot to put it into the other contest there. Well, wouldn't you know it, the placeholder lineup did about 50 points better than the one that I wanted to initially put into all of them. So my main question is, has this ever happened to you? And did I just find a way to cut down on research?
Yes, it has happened to me. And I always think about running a test, you know, because it goes back to the theory that your first impression is always your best impression. Or your gut, your first feeling is always your best feeling, you know? And if you really take time and kind of just go through everything and you just, you know, set a good competitive lineup and just leave it. I've always, you know, thought about what kind of damage that could do in tournaments. I wouldn't use it as like my main lineup, but you know, if you throw that in like the $3 shot, every day, that's what you reserve, and then you make your edits off of that. I always thought about what it could do and how good it would be. I've also thought about, you know, every time I've made an edit, you know, saving it as another lineup in the shot as well, and just keep saving and saving and saving, and going from there, you know, barring late injury news. So, I think, you know, every once in a while, that's going to happen, and I think probably, you know, you could probably have the nuts line up every once in a while, and that happen. But you know, I think over the long haul, the course of the season, it's very advantageous to do your research and your studying. So.
Yeah, very true. And, you know, last night, obviously, Damian Lillard was quite the popular play. It wasn't too far off his salary expectations, but the big thing that helped me out there, John Wall, who was only 11.7% owned in this particular contest that I'm looking at right now. You know, he was in there. I had Nurkic that was in there. He went bananas. Klay Thompson even had himself a nice game when, you know, he hadn't really done that well against the Rockets in the last three regular season games. Did fine in the playoffs. But Yeah, I mean, all these sort of different things. I mean, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, there was no T.J. Warren in this lineup because, you know, that Suns news didn't come out until right before lock. So all those things were taken into account. But
probably lower ownership in that lineup than your main lineup, too, because you weren't reacting to the late news. So.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, with the exception of who we got here, Damian Lillard and Torian Prince. Yeah, everybody was pretty much, you know, around either 20% or around there. So yeah,
God, that, I would have loved to have that.
Yeah, that certainly worked out pretty well. And you know, that ended up finishing with the 334, but I mean, look, there's certain things throughout the day that I'll see on, you know, projections.
And you sheets. Avoided the Tim Hardaway Jr. fiasco.
Yes. I probably wasn't going there anyway. I understand that it was a pretty good matchup, but I had the Hawks in mind that I really, it was Ersan Ilyasova and Torian Prince that I was going to roll with last night, but I had that in the article yesterday saying that those were basically the best dollar per point plays. But again, the whole point of this small exercise was basically just to tell the people, hey, you know, it's not so bad to trust yourself every now and again.
Yeah, it's really not. You know, if you have a really, really strong, and we talk all the time in Slack and stuff like that, and you know, people ask us about their plays and stuff like that. And, you know, sometimes they're guys that we're just not on. And that doesn't mean that they're, you know, bad plays, guys. I mean, I've talked about, you know, there's a running joke and I don't take offense to it. I know it's all in good fun and stuff, but there was a, you know, running joke about, you know, play the guys that Keith puts in red in his lists. You know, but see what's funny about it is they're not realizing and understanding that, you know, I might highlight seven guys that I'm going to fade tonight for whatever reason due to, I think, their trap or ownership or, you know, whatever. And five out of the seven might hit, you know, meaning they bust. But my God, I'm going to hear, I don't hear about those, but my God, I hear about the two.
Oh, of course.
I said last night. Who was it? Sean Long was a trap. And the only guy I highlighted, I didn't even put Sean Long wasn't even worth a mention on my cheat sheet. I didn't think he was going to be that popular. But I did mention that I was fading Ish Smith, and it was due to ownership. And I still would make the same play. You guys know me. I still would make the same play, even with Reggie Jackson out, because of what his ownership was going to be. I'd make it 10 times out of 10. And you know what? I'm going to win that more than I'm going to lose it. And that's just the way I think. I love Ish Smith, but I don't like him as chalk. Now he hit 29 at 40, what was it? $4,600. I mean, he was a great play. Yeah, that was one I missed. You know, when I say fade Harden, and that's what I was doing yesterday, guess what? James Harden wasn't even on the sheet yesterday. I nailed that one. Considering what his salary was and what he put up, I nailed it.
Probably the ownership as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because he was still 50% owned. You know, so when I talk about these fades, you have to talk about it and take it into consideration. Am I going to hit every single one? No. Is Al going to hit every single one of his picks? No.
God, no.
But what we do is we play the percentages and we know how people in the industry are going to react enough to give us a chance to gain an edge on a significant portion of the field, especially in tournaments. And I did say in Slack yesterday, with the minutes adjustments that we put up or we had in, with the Devin Booker news, James Harden ended up popping in on the optimal lineup off of the domination station. I said, you know, because of what I'm doing right now, currently running the top without bias, running the top domination station lineup in all of my head-to-heads and putting them in cash games and stuff like that. You know, I said I was going to run it out there. But other than that, I faded him completely. And that was the right move. So it's never fun fading a James Harden, a Kevin Durant, a Russell Westbrook, or anybody like that. But at times it is warranted, and it can be a, you know, very, very, very beneficial move if you, you know, nail the right time. So
yeah, it's like betting the under in a basketball or a football game if you're doing that, basically. So, but yes, it can certainly work. All right, so on today's slate, we have got, what do we got here, 10 games today?
Yeah, we have 10 games, and oh my God, do we have some fun.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, let's just get right into it now. We shall begin in the city of brotherly love, where we've got the Atlanta Hawks at the Philadelphia 76ers. The Sixers actually opened up as a one-point favorite. This has moved now to a Hawks minus two, minus 125 on the money line, and 209.5 is our total in this one. Both teams are on the back end of a back-to-back. Both teams are playing their third game in four nights. In terms of back-to-backs, Atlanta 9-6 outright this season in that scenario, while the Sixers are 5-13 in that scenario. You're going to have some injury news here. You're going to have Dabo Sefolosha questionable with the groin injury. I believe Ken Bazemore good to go tonight.
I've heard mixed reports on that. Okay. I've heard that he's still questionable.
Okay.
But I've also heard that he is good and will be active too. So, let's go as if we were going, he is good and active. Okay. Because I think that's going to have more of a change, a cause and effect than if he's not.
Fair enough. And then, of course, closing out the Hawks injury report, Millsap is still out. I saw a report there that Millsap went to go see the infamous Dr. James Andrews for his knee stuff, so never a good thing. But he will be reevaluated. And then Jahlil Okafor, Gerald Henderson, Sergio Rodriguez, all questionable for the Sixers tonight. Okay, so we got a team in the Sixers playing pretty good basketball, can at least keep these games close. We saw the Hawks sort of struggle last night with the Suns. So, you know, given all that information, what are we looking at here?
If we start on the Sixers, let's start on the Sixers because I have something that I want to ask you about. What do you think about TJ McConnell? Because we've been targeting point guards against Atlanta now for a while, and I think that everybody's going to go to that. It's a 10-game slate, which means the merit for fading chalk is even greater for tournaments because of, you know, the, you know, options that we do have, especially on a night like tonight where we've got so many high totals. I don't know. I'm torn on TJ McConnell here because in theory, yes, he has a good matchup. He should get a lot of minutes now. But I mean, we're still talking about TJ McConnell, and now we're talking about TJ McConnell getting closer to 35-40% owned probably in tournaments because of his price. I don't know if I want to go there.
Yeah, it's an interesting scenario. I mean, look, the fact that both teams are on the back end of a back-to-back, I try to stay away from those kind of games.
Good luck with that today.
Yeah, it's going to be tough too with all the scenarios that we have, and of course all the Atlanta value that is in this situation. They are still, you know, fighting for playoff seeding here. So, I don't know. I could probably do without McConnell. I understand that the matchup there is pretty good against Schroeder, but yeah, I don't think it's anything that I need to have. I don't think the massive upside is that good that, you know, he'll be able to take full advantage of it. I see, you know, sort of a sloppy, low-scoring game in this one, given the fact that, you know, both teams are in this situation. So I could probably do without that. The one guy from the Sixers, though, that I would really like to go with would probably – yeah, actually two guys here. I'd probably go with Dario Saric, Robert Covington. You know, we've talked about Dario Saric at home. He's been very good. He's typically in that 35-40 fantasy point range when he's playing there in Philly, so that's a good option. And then Robert Covington, he's looked a lot better here over these last couple games, and he's another guy that, you know, typically has his big performances at home.
Yeah, I mean, you can't argue with that. He's I would probably lean more towards Saric than Covington, because if Bazemore's in, now if Bazemore's out, then yes, I can go to Robert Covington all day long and twice on Sundays. But if, you know, Bazemore's in, Bazemore's actually a pretty competent defender. Now I'm not sure exactly how, if there's going to be a minutes restriction or, you know, something like that. So it's kind of a play by ear. But it is something I'm going to be watching, you know, that whole situation to make sure that, if I can attack with both Saric and Roko, then, we shall do so and do so with extreme prejudice.
Indeed. All right. So what are we looking at from the Hawks side of things? I mean, I think a lot of it's going to have to do with the updates of Cephalosha and Bazemore in this one. It's going to be tough, too, because we really don't know, you know, what their limit is, if they are going to play or whatnot. So, you know, what really pops out the most so far?
Dennis Schroeder. He's been playing a lot better. He's kind of taken charge. Don't mind a little bit of Dwight Howard here, I guess. Ersan Ilyasova. Is another one. You know, this is one of his 15 different revenge games, I guess you could call it. He was a part of the Sixers, you know, before they traded him. I mean, there's a lot of things that you could go here. But the question is it going to be worth it? Because I don't see this being, you know, we've got 10 games on the slate tonight, and is this something that we see being like a top flight, top total? I don't, not with the way that Atlanta plays. I mean, yeah, it's a 210 total, but I don't know. I don't see, I don't mind attacking both of these teams, but I don't see the need if they're going to be extremely highly owned. Like, because okay, you got to think about it. If you're looking on FanDuel here, okay, and normally we don't do this as far as giving you plays that we like, you know, before we talk about the games. But I think we have to, because since this is one of the first games, TJ McConnell is going to be extremely highly owned. In fact, I think he's going to be over-owned because of the fact that, you know, he is in a first game, one of the first games, and, you know, we've got a lot of good pivots that we can go to. Just around the 5,500 mark, you can go to Malcolm Brogdon going against Boston. You could go to Ty Lawson going against Utah in tournaments. Now, I know that's not sexy or anything, but you could. Technically, you could go to J.J. Barea in that same game, or in a different game. Dellen Wright has been playing very well. Now he gets a tougher matchup against Charlotte, but you could go there. I mean, I guess for cash games, it's not that bad of a deal or big of a deal. If you can find the extra 600, go up to George Hill. You know, that he's a possibility, but it's not like you have to have him tonight. It's not like he's the key that unlocks the magic box. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, now on Atlanta's side, if Kent Bazemore's in, I like him. I like him a lot. He's actually popping up all over the domination station because of, you know, let's see, this is five games he's missed. Because he can actually, you know, create his own shot as well. I think Taurean Prince has carved out a role for himself a little bit. Mm-hmm. Obviously with the way that he's kind of performed and everything, and he's still cheap, so I don't mind going there, but you're not going to get 36 to 38 minutes out of him anymore if Bazemore's back.
Yeah, that certainly hurts a lot of things. Again, just like I like Saric on the Philly side of things, I like Ilyasova for pretty much the same exact reasons. You know, both guys are absolutely terrible on defense. I know Saric is among the absolute worst in terms of the last handful of players on that power forward list for defensive real plus minus. So you can certainly go back to him. I think that's a good spot. If you remember, Ilyasova spent some time with the Sixers. So not a revenge game by any means, but definitely a hey, hi, how you doing sort of thing.
Exactly.
So that's always in the mix there as well. But yeah, again, if I'm looking at, and look, I wouldn't even mind going back to Tim Hardaway, you know?
I was waiting for that one.
Yeah. I mean, again, he's absolutely spurned everybody last night. So again, why not make this the perfect time to go back to him? And again, Sixers little better at the shooting guard position since they started rocking with TLC there for a lot more minutes. So it's okay. I mean, Tim Hardaway's done well in bad matchups before. So, again, Tim Hardaway, he'll typically pop off at one of those real shitty games. But if you go look at his numbers over the course of March, they're, aside from those three or four games where he got a massive dud, he's one of the most consistent players that the Hawks have.
Yes. Yes, he is.
it's, aside from ones that were like single digits, he's really consistent.
Yeah. And, over under, because we know nobody from the DFS Army listens to this podcast, because we get the same questions that we get the same questions that we talk about, and we get the same questions we talk about on the pod in Slack all day long. But over under, how many people do you think are going to say I'm not going back to Tim Hardaway today, especially when I have him ranked on the cheat sheet?
I'm going to go with the percentage here because I don't even know if they make a number that high. So I'm going to say, with the percent, I'm going to say about 75% of the folks today will say, I'm never playing Tim Hardaway Jr. again.
Yeah.
Not only tonight, but again.
Yeah, forget all the good things that he's done for us and all the money he's helped us win at low ownership in the past. Yeah. One night screws you. I mean,
yeah, fuck him.
do you realize what I would be doing if my wife said after my first mistake, us being together, after we got together, where I would be right now?
Oh, you might be homeless.
Oh, dude. I mean, we wouldn't have even got to. I mean, we would have broke up on the cruise to the Bahamas, and that was on the way to the Bahamas, not even on the way back, just to there. So,
and it just goes to show everybody, you can never make a mistake in life, never.
My wife is amazing. She puts up with me, obviously. She puts up with me putting up with all of you guys.
And takes a special kind of lady.
Yeah, it's no kidding. So I love you, Heather.
All right,
I really do.
Let's go to your boys. They got a matchup in the Magical Kingdom tonight, where they take on the Orlando Magic. Thunder 5.5-point favorites here, -230 on the money line, and we've got a total of 218 in this game. Love it, love it, love it. All right, so the Magic won the only meeting this season. That was a 2-point win in OKC. That's overtime there as well. Thunder are 4-1 against the Magic in their last five games, but have only covered one of those last five games. For the last five Magic Thunder games have gone over the total. Now, you would probably know this, but I remember from recent memory, these games are always really good, really high scoring. Obviously, I just said in all those matchup numbers, but these are typically pretty good games here.
I hate the Magic. Like, as a Thunder fan, I hate playing the Magic. They, even when we had Durant, they always played us well. Like, I don't know what it is, but they always played us well. And I could never understand it. I still don't understand it.
I think, was it last – it was either last season or the one before where they had that double overtime game in
Orlando. Last season, it was like the first or second game of the season. Yeah. Yeah, it was like a double or triple overtime. It was crazy.
Like Westbrook hit a three to send it into one of the overtimes? I do remember.
Oh, my gosh. It was absolutely just unbelievable.
Anywho, Russell Westbrook has absolutely owned the Magic in each of the last four meetings. If we're talking about FanDuel points here, we're talking about 77.4, 69.8, 71.2, 67.2. Now, keep in mind, a lot of that is even with Kevin Durant in the lineup. So now that he gets a crack at him this time around, that's where he had the 77.4 this season. But three triple-doubles in that span of four games. He's just absolutely teeing off. And, of course, we know that the Magic are not good against point guards at all. So, I don't think the masses are going to be asking, do I Westbrook or not tonight? This statistic alone should just have the faith that Russell Westbrook should be your guy tonight.
Yeah, we can move on. This is a homecoming, though, for Mr. Victor Oladipo.
It is, and, you know, Westbrook never had to deal with these things from Oladipo. I don't really think Westbrook gives a shit since OKC is trying to position themselves the way that they want in the playoff race.
I think he does as long as it's in the context of the game, and, you know, because you gotta, it's gonna be a little bit emotional for Vic. I mean, he spent his first couple of years there. He was drafted by them. It's gonna be a little bit emotional coming in.
He had so many great Friday night performances.
He did. Orlando. He did. Yeah. I expect him to get a nice standing ovation.
Oh yeah.
You know, I expect it to be a nice warm welcome. And if you're in the Orlando area and you're not going to this game, then shame on you.
Well, I mean, Disney's there and whatnot. Epcot Center. Don't forget that.
Oh, please. Russell. Disney will be there tomorrow. Man. Russell Westbrook will not.
I don't even know if the Orlando MLS team has a game. I mean, there's all sorts of activities going on in Central Florida. Right, yeah, they just started not too long ago.
Oh, shows you how much I pay attention to
soccer. I do think they are in the international break, though, because – all right, so maybe no MLS. All right, fine. Fair enough, everyone. So, yeah, that could be all of our ways to go with these OKC players. Any additional guys, maybe like a Steven Adams, Enes Kanter in this one?
I think you can go with Enes Kanter and Steven Adams. Don't ask me to – we're back to this. You know, which one is it going to be? Is it going to be good or is it going to be bad? Not good or bad. Is it going to be one or the other? And this was something that, you know, even as a Thunder fan, I had a hard time kind of pinpointing him last year. I think they're both in play in tournaments. If I had to choose one, it sucks because I like Steven Adams' minutes, but he's really struggling offensively right now. He's not being as aggressive. He started to kind of come out of that a little bit against Houston. He started to kind of become a little bit more aggressive, but it's one of those things that can we just get them as like a combo, like make them $8,000 on FanDuel and DraftKings and play them as a combo?
That's not a bad idea.
They are the Stash brothers.
I would like to do that with quarterbacks for NFL season in case one of them gets injured. Like you just get like
the New Cowboys England quarterbacks.
Right. Yeah.
You know, there was a site called Victive, and when they rolled out their MLB package, you had to choose the pitching staff.
Okay.
Like you didn't just choose the starting pitcher; you chose the whole pitching staff.
I like that. Potentially get a save, a hold, even.
Yeah. I mean,
I like that. I like that idea.
I didn't. It sucked. But anyways, but I did like their idea of, you know, you would, and here's a way. This is I've got the way to fix the NBA with late scratches. Okay.
Okay.
This is what you do. You create a reserve spot. That reserve spot only kicks in if one of your guys takes a zero, okay? And that zero could be a number of different things, whether that be and it has to be, you know, it can't be Steph Curry. You know, you can't have Steph Curry go in and therefore you get, like, Curry, Westbrook, and, you know, you go over your salary cap. You know, you get, like, and Victive did this. I don't remember for what sport. I think it might have been basketball, but basically, say you get like on FanDuel, it'd be like $5,500. Okay, your sub spot or reserve spot, you can only spend up to $5,500, but that spot only kicks in if you get a zero out of one of your other, like, quote unquote, nine guys. Okay. So it adds another element of strategy in there because you don't want a player that sucks in your reserve spot, but you know, you have to, you know, kind of think about it like, okay, I only want to play this guy if, you know, if my guy gets scratched. And you don't want, you're still not wanting to play guys like, you know, Kawhi Leonard or, you know, Steph Curry and hope that they get scratched, because now you're going from a, you know, a $9,500 player to a $5,500 player. So you're sacrificing $4,000 worth of salary.
Mm-hmm.
But it allows you to stay live and your lineup not be completely screwed if at 6:05, you know, one of your guys gets scratched.
7:05 Eastern.
Oh, well, nobody cares about Eastern.
That's, I disagree.
No, because we're in Central Time, so we're the center of America.
Yeah,
we're the center of attention.
New York City is the center of the world, so yeah, there's that.
It doesn't matter if they're the center of the world. Never mind, I'm not going to say it. I'm going to get a lot of people pissed at me if I say that.
Yeah, probably get all sorts of lobbyists. American Patriots just hating you. All right, let's talk about this Magic team, because, you know, they do have to play on the other side. Elfrid Payton, not a bad play here. Nikola Vucevic. Anybody in particular popping up for you?
Evan Fournier is interesting here. He has been pretty consistent, but not to where it would kind of, you know, blow you out of the water. He's been right around that, you know, 26-point range, low of 20, last five, high of 32, so he's not going to – but he does have 40-point upside. I really honestly think he just needs to get rid of the man bun, and he would perform a lot better. Jeff
How
Green
– much hatred for man buns?
I don't understand them. Jeff Green should be out, so – obviously, you can pretty much scratch off any of the combo of Terrence Ross or I don't know who Robertson's going to be on, because you know Vic is going to come out just absolutely ready to ball. So the question is it going to be worth? Is it going to be worth going to Terrence Ross still at $4,300? Or, and even on the other side of that, Andre Robertson, this is a game where he should kind of excel in a little bit. It's a little bit more up in tempo where he should be able to cut and slash. He's, he's going to do everything he can on the defensive end of the ball. I mean, there's a lot of good plays in here. I want to know who Robertson's going to be on compared to who Victor Oladipo is going to be on. Because you know Victor is going to bring a little bit more intensity on the defensive end as well, because he used to go against these guys in practice every single day.
Sure, sure.
So
now I will say Oladipo's first meeting early against the Magic this season, he only got 17 and change on both sites. So there is that.
Yeah, but that was in Oklahoma City.
I'm aware. I know what's going on here. Just letting it out there for the people.
And it was earlier in the season where he hadn't been fully integrated into the offense yet.
Keep making excuses for your boy. It's all good. It's
hey,
all good.
I think Victor Oladipo is a great basketball player. I've loved him ever since he was at Indiana. I really, because they wanted to draft him coming out of college, but he was gone by the time the draft or by the time the pick got to him. So. Sam Presti always gets his man.
He does. He does. All right, let's see. If we're talking about matchups today, Fantasy Labs, great site if you're not aware of it yet. But Evan Fournier would be drawing the Roberson matchup, and Terrence Ross would be going against Victor Oladipo, according to them.
Okay. I mean, I could see that. The Thunder do a lot of switching. So I could see it being about 50-50 on both of them.
Okay.
But either way, 50-50 is better than 100%. So at 4,300, that might shy me off of Evan Fournier a little bit, because it's not like Vic's a bad defender. But at 4,300, that gives me a little bit of interest in Terrence Ross, possibly. What is he on DraftKings? He is, whoo, yeah, he's only playable on FanDuel.
What do you got over there on him?
DK, 5K.
Oh my.
I'm not paying 5K for Terrence Ross in this matchup.
He has been shooting the ball well lately. Part of his demise in most of these games is, you know, he can't hit the ocean if he falls off a boat. So
he's either on or off.
Yeah, the fact that he is, you know, finally hitting these shots with regular consistency, you know, you're going to see that. And, you know, I think there's something else, too, that's pretty interesting. I feel like, you know, just Russell Westbrook being in the building kind of elevates everybody's game. You know, this is a point that we really haven't, you know, touched on yet. But, I mean, look, Orlando's going to get a huge crowd tonight. You're going to have that buzz in the building.
Are they going to chant MVP for him like the Brooklyn Nets crowd?
Well, you know, Florida basketball, not as hip and hop on all their stuff as New York people. But I think you're going to see a lot of people's games elevated tonight, and especially even on the Magic side of things. Again, you know, all these games that these two teams have played recently have been extremely close. So, and we've got a 218 total in this one, so we could see a ton of points here. I just want to touch on Nikola Vucevic real quick. He's averaged 40.3 FanDuel points per game over the last 8. If you want to equate that out to DraftKings points, that comes out to 41.7. So I like him. Again, OKC giving up a good amount of points inside the paint this season. So we've got that. And, of course, Elfrid Payton going back at Russell Westbrook all night should be a fun matchup. So that could be a good one for GPPs. Would not mind the ping pong there either.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that at all. So there's a lot of interesting matchups here. So, but unlike the next couple games that we're going to get to.
Yes, we can breeze. All right, let's talk about our friends to the north in Toronto, where Charlotte Hornets are traveling. Raptors, 6-point favorites in this one, -255 on the money line. We've got ourselves a total of that started out at 205, has dropped 3 points to 202. In looking at this matchup, the Raptors lead the season series. You've had 2 games that were within 5 points and another one that was just an absolute ass-kicking. Charlotte is on the back end of a back-to-back tonight. And they are in their 3rd game in 4 nights. Charlotte 4-10 outright on the back end of back-to-backs this season. They are also 3-13 against the spread versus the Atlantic Division, which, keep in mind, homes shitty teams like the Nets, Sixers, and the Knicks. So very, very interesting there. Toronto, in terms of injuries, you're going to have Kyle Lowry out with the wrist injury. Damari Carroll is going to try and give it a go tonight. We'll keep him listed as questionable, though. For the Hornets, you got Ramon Sessions, questionable. He's okay to return, but don't know if they want to put him in the rotation yet. And Johnny O'Brien will be out for this one, too. So, given all that information.
That Johnny O'Brien news, man.
Well, you know, I didn't say all the injury news wasn't going to matter. I mean, this one right there, that's going to certainly tilt the tide of the world.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do here.
I know. Can I throw a name at you?
Please, please do. Give me some direction, my friend.
Kemba Walker.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
He has no idea. What is his price on FanDuel before I chastise you?
Keep in mind the matchup.
I know the matchup. Keep in mind what this guy has done the last month and a half, barring 1 game.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I read an article yesterday, and I mean, this is not why I'm saying it, but there's, you know, oh, Kemba Walker's been playing out of his mind lately, and I was like, I didn't know that was the case. But no, I mean, he's been doing pretty well over the last 4 games.
He's been more efficient.
Out of his mind is a tough one, though.
No, I think he's playing some of the best overall basketball in his career, okay? Make no mistake about it. And if he was $1,000 less, I would love it. But this is not a matchup like Phoenix was, where they're going to win 120 to 106. they're going to be lucky to break 100 in this matchup, in this game. Especially considering this is the back end of a back-to-back going into Toronto through customs. And they did have to put up a little bit of a stand last night.
Yeah, sure. By the way, Kemba's last trip to Toronto, 43.3 FanDuel points.
That doesn't pay off his salary. What is he at? You still never answered.
7,800.
78?
Yeah. That's on FD. The only site I trust.
You said it was what?
7,800.
No. His last trip into Toronto?
Oh, 43.3.
Okay, that's 5.5x, just over.
Right.
So that's not bad. I can't do it. I know the matchup's good.
Don't forget.
But Kemba Walker's not hurt. Has not been hurting us lately.
No. Keep in mind, you had the same amount of hatred for Paul George last night.
No.
Yeah.
No, I had more hatred for Paul George last night. Get it right. Get it right. And that was one I missed. I will firmly admit that. Okay. I didn't expect Paul George to go freaking retro 2000 circa freaking broken leg.
All-star game.
No kidding. I can't do it. I would rather go. I want to look into the matchup a little bit more, but I think I'd rather go to. I'd rather target the Nicholas Batum DeMar DeRozan. I think I'd rather go with Nicholas Batum.
Fair enough.
Because I can get my. Especially after he put up a dud against Milwaukee, which we kind of hinted about. Especially, you know, if. With the injury news that was coming out of that game last night. But you got to think, Milwaukee just came out and absolutely just shellacked them. I mean, they bent them over and used a paddle with holes drilled in it.
Oh, my.
They left a mark. So I guess you could go to that narrative and say, yeah, they want to – probably come out and, you know, put a statement up that we're not going to just roll over and die.
We're not going to take it. Now, let me ask, is a paddle with holes drilled in it worse than a... Because I would think that that's maybe some air resistance. No?
Oh, no. That's not air resistance. That allows the air to travel through
the actual
paddle so okay. It can come down faster with more force. And then... You have the holes in it that create more of a indentation in the arse.
Okay, I see. Now, my best friend was actually the pledge master at Deke fraternity at Rutgers for a while. So I gotta, you know, he would be the expert to consult on this one. But I never did fraternity; that wasn't my thing. So, I would not know about the paddle there. Anywho, all right, any interest
in I have a question before else? We start, because I'm sitting here thinking about it. I'm watching this because you had me turn on Fox Sports 1 earlier. Who is this woman talking to Colin Cowherd?
Oh, Christine Leahy.
Oh, my God.
She's there all the time. She is...
She's the only reason why I would watch, just to watch her.
I follow her on Instagram. She has a bow. She's also the... I don't know, like the sideline reporter on America's Top Ninja Warrior or whatever. So, yeah.
That's a show?
It is a show. It's on NBC, actually.
We need to get out of DFS. We're in the wrong industry to be able to be around these girls.
But, yeah, she's got some, like, super buff black boyfriend, so it works out well.
Oh, that just kind of ruined it a little bit.
Well, no one's really going to... No one's going to mess with her, you know, like that guy could just step in and be like, hey, that's my lady. And then I think everybody would be like, okay.
Yeah.
But once I found that out, she was no longer my top celebrity crush because I'm not messing with that guy. Go check out her Instagram. You'll see the guy. He's like super chart. Like he could be an American Gladiator.
You're going to have to send me her name because
Christine Leahy. That's L Neahy.
Oh, gosh. Is it with a K or a C?
That's with a K.
Christine. Oh, I didn't even need to, like, type in the last name. We'll just go to images so we can get them all. Wow.
Now, while you gawk over your new crush, let's talk about some of these other games here. Or not games, but some of these other plays from the Raptors here. We've got DeMar DeRozan. You know, he's going to have a little tougher of a matchup. The Hornets can go with a, you know, combination here of Nicholas Batum. They can go Michael K. Gilchrist on him at times if they need to. It's going to be an expensive night for Mr. DeRozan. So can you go there?
Nick Batum is not a bad defender at all. Make no mistake about that. But with that said, I honestly really don't mind going there because he's going to have to do everything. Because unless Serge and all these other guys are actually knocking down their shots, you're talking about, and we talked about it last game. If he doesn't do a lot in the peripheral categories, but if he gets to the free throw line, he can put up 35 plus points. Now he might only score you 40 plus fantasy points. I'm probably not going to go there on FanDuel.
Okay.
But I don't mind going there on DraftKings where you can get the three-point bonus. You can just knock out the double-double bonus and triple-double bonus because that ain't happening. But you can at least get the three-point bonus there, and he's cheaper. He's 8,700. So.
Okay. Any interest in some of these side pieces here, I guess?
Serge.
DeLon Wright, remember, he's been doing pretty well here. Serge Ibaka, he's got a great matchup there against Marvin Williams. Even, I mean, one of these days, Jonas Valanciunas is going to pop off. Like, I can feel it coming. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I can feel it.
I don't think he's playing the minutes enough to do it.
It's going to happen eventually. I wonder if he'll even be a Raptor next season because, you know, there are times like they're just not. You're right; they're just not playing him enough. But against Orlando last game, he did have 29.8 FanDuel points. So there's that. You know, every time I've noticed it, all of his, or I shouldn't say all of his, but most of his good performances come at home. So there is that. Again, going up against the Hornets, that's a great matchup there for centers. So I'm going to take a look at his numbers against the Hornets. Say something fun for the people.
Don't play any of the point guards for Toronto. I know I just said it a little bit ago, but yeah, I don't think I can because I just remembered that, you know, Charlotte's actually pretty sneaky good against the point guard position this year. And I don't think that I really want to attack him without it being more of a, you know, elite type point guard. And I'm sorry, but Corey Joseph and DeLon Wright just really don't make that cut. So I'm probably not going to do it.
Valanciunas, let's see, against the Hornets here in five of the last six games, he's posted at least 25 FanDuel points. So there is that to cling on to. Yeah, that's really
Klingon?
It.
Klingon to?
I mean, look, it's a good matchup, but again, we have no idea what he's going to do. So yeah, exposure is going to be limited here to the Raptors. We did give you all a fair warning that this would not be a fun game to talk about.
So. Yeah, I think we spent more time on it than we really wanted to.
Alrighty then, I think we had more time on Christine Leahy than actual basketball in that game, but that's okay.
She's worth it.
She's a babe. Schwing. Miami Heat -3 at the New York Knicks -160. Is the money line in this one. 210.5 is our total. Knicks won the only meeting this season. That was a 11-point win in Miami. Heat on the back
end. When was that game?
back? I have no idea. Probably earlier in the season. Had to be when the Knicks were relevant. 5-8 for the Heat, outright on the back end of back-to-backs. Also their third game in four nights. Heat coming off that buzzer win last night over the Pistons. My God, they are a mess. The Pistons, not the Heat. So, I mean, even though the Heat are on a back end of a back-to-back, I still think they're going to beat the Knicks in this one. The Knicks just had that performance of nowhere against the Pistons. See, that's how much of a mess the Pistons are. The Knicks kicked their ass. So, all right, what in the hell are we doing here? Because we got some options.
Really? Because I see one.
Okay.
Maybe two.
Boy, you're never going to be a marketing guy. Trying to make the game sound good and...
Why dress up a pig in lipstick if it's still going to be a pig?
Fancy bacon. Anyone? No. Bueller?
Oh, my gosh. No. I just, it's a 10-game slate. If I can knock out some games and not have to worry about it, then... Okay, look, you can go to Goran Dragic and Tyler Johnson. They both have tournament upside, yes. They haven't shown it lately, but they do have it. Josh Richardson's not on play on DraftKings where he's 5,300. But he is on play in FanDuel where he's 46. I'm a little interested in James Johnson.
Yeah.
But that interest goes to FanDuel, not DraftKings, where DraftKings has done a good job of pricing them where I think he needs to be. He's 6,600. I think he's going to be low owned because he hasn't really shown any consistency lately. And then you've got the whole center debacle. Do we even, there was word that came out yesterday. Hassan Whiteside's going to have stitches in his hand for another week.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't really performed that well with stitches in his hand. In good matchups. Now, he did have 19 and 15 against Boston. But that's Boston. I don't think there's a better matchup for a big man than Boston. If there is one, New York's a close second, though.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yeah, I mean, look, last night, Sam Whiteside, he ended a streak of double-doubles that went all the way back to the Stone Age. But, again, this is a good matchup. You got to wonder, how much the Heat play him on a back end of a back-to-back. I mean, he only played 30 minutes last night, so it's not like they overextended him. That's typically where he's been over the last couple of games. The point totals have been good. And if we're looking for tournament upside, though, yeah. I mean, Whiteside's probably not our guy. Probably more of a cash game sort of guy. I am not that kind of guy, though. I do like Tyler Johnson.
He's in play for cash games. Right. He's 8,800 now on FanDuel.
Wow.
I mean, that's getting up there.
Did you see Tyler Johnson went up to 6,100 on FanDuel?
Yeah, he was out there yesterday. But just to get to 5X, he's got to get 44. I don't think I'm going to go there. I mean, come on, I can go up to Rudy Gobert against Sacramento for $300 more, or I can go down to DeAndre Jordan against Washington for, $900 less. I'm not going there.
The one thing I'm looking here at Tyler Johnson, the one thing I will say, he rarely has two bad performances in a row. He finishes, in single digits here. I mean, the one game, 23.1, and then the next game he had 9.9, comes back with 29.1. Against the Raptors, he has 13.7, comes back with 35.8. 7.8 last night for him. So,
yeah, ladies and gentlemen, he's not going to shoot 1 of 8 from the field again.
Yeah, I think this is a pretty good spot to go with him, especially, if you're looking for that low ownership point guard to pair with Russell Westbrook. I think that this could certainly be the way to go.
Yep.
A little bit more of an up-tempo matchup for the Heat to playing at the Knicks, so that works out pretty well. Any interest here in your New York Knickerbockers. We've got
York Knickerbockers.
Well, the people. Kristaps Porzingis went bananas last game. The entire Knicks team went bananas last game. I have a feeling people might go back to Melo just because, you know, he's cheap and he put up that good performance last game. He is not done with this season. Yeah, he is.
We don't play Melo.
Yeah, I've made that firmly clear many of times. He's fat. He's lazy. He's Melo. So, you know what's crazy? I mean, you know, he had that great first half against the Pistons. He still only finished with 34.1 on FanDuel. Folks, the massive upside for Melo is just – it is dissipated. It's gone.
Not with this team.
Again, I think I used the word dissipated.
You did. Not with this team, not this season.
Disappeared.
We'll revisit the Melo conversation next season.
No, I didn't.
No, you did use dissipated.
No. Squander or fritter away. With reference to a feeling, to disappear, a cause to disappear. Boom.
Kylo Quinn starting to get minutes again on a more consistent basis. I say that, and he's probably going to play 9 minutes tonight. I don't know. I don't mind a little bit of exposure to him in tournaments. I mean, you've got him. You've got Willie Hernan Gomez, who, I mean...
Say it right, Billy Hernan Gomez.
Guillermo Hernan Gomez. He played 27 minutes last night, averaged close to a fantasy point per minute. He's a little expensive, though, at 5,400.
51 on FanDuel.
I like him a little bit better over there. You know, this is not a bad option to kind of target Hassan Whiteside. But those are the only two big men I would probably play. I don't think I'm going to be playing Kristaps Porzingis tonight. Okay. I don't. We've been pretty successful not picking on the neck tat, the black belt of the NBA.
Baller, karate baller.
I don't see that changing tonight.
Porzingis could get off to a hot start, right? If the Heat end up going with Babbitt against him at the beginning, that's going to be an excellent play there at the start. But yeah, I mean, yeah, James Johnson's going to be in there eventually. I do like the Hernan Gomez play. I think, you know, we've had plenty of centers go up against the Heat and have some success before this season, so I'm not going to shy away from that. I really like that play if we're looking for a cheaper center. So that could certainly be the guy right there. I don't mind it.
Yeah, he's like a DFS darling right now, and I don't know if I like DFS darlings. So,
okay, I'll answer that for the people. I know you don't. I know you like your lower ownership. All right, let's get to another.
It's
game.
Not that I think that he's going to be highly owned. It's just I don't know if I don't know if he's got the capabilities to. He seems like that nice guy. You know what I mean? Like he doesn't seem like he's aggressive enough to take on a Hassan Whiteside. Like this seems like a Kylo, and this is just personality and persona and perception. And I know it has no basketball analysis whatsoever, but it seems like a Kylo Quinn get pissed off game.
Maybe. I mean, I think if we're matching, you know, if we're matching length for length, body for body, I think, you know, Hernan Gomez is probably going to be that guy on him.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I think he's got the size to be able to match up with him. I don't think he has the aggression is what I'm saying.
I think he'll be fine. You know, I think he's a pretty smart player, and sometimes that beats Hassan Whiteside since he's such an idiot. But, yeah, no, I really think he could – you know, I'm sure he's going to reach his salary expectations at 5X, you know, probably get you 25, something like that. But, I'm not going to be shocked at all if he goes for, I don't know, 35, something along those lines. I mean, Heat, not that great at rebounding the ball. They've gotten a little better as the season has gone along. But, I could certainly see him doing well.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to some good games.
Yes, let's move. Milwaukee Bucks at the Boston Celtics. 8-point favorites in this one, minus 345. 210 is our total in this game. Now, since the Celtics are 8-point favorites, it doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to blow people out. They are 8 games under 500 against the spread as both the favorite and at home this season, so keep that in mind. In terms of injuries in this one, well, I got to mention Milwaukee is on the back end of a back-to-back. This is also their third game in 4 nights. They are 7-11 outright on the back end of back-to-backs. In terms of injuries, Michael Beasley trying to make a return here. He's questionable with the knee injury. John Henson is out with the thumb injury. And Jabari Parker, of course, out for the season. For the Celtics, Jonas Jerebko, he is questionable with the knee injury in this one. Let's kick it off with the Celtics here because, you know, we know Isaiah Thomas is the key to the engine for this Boston offense going on here. So, again, we've seen Milwaukee been pretty stingy against opposing point guards. You still have faith in Thomas in this one, or do you go with other Celtics because of that?
I think I'm going to go with other Celtics because of that. One, okay. Because his price is $8,400 on FanDuel, and he hasn't really shown the ceiling lately. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's his shots not falling. I don't know. But he hasn't shown it. That's what I do know. And with the point guard position being kind of as loaded as it is, I don't see... I see him being a very, very, very minimal exposure type player in today. He's not going to be highly owned. He hasn't been lately. Not on a 10-game slate. I like him better on DraftKings where he's only 8K.
Okay.
But that's about it.
I think this could be an interesting spot for Avery Bradley, Al Horford, guys like that. I don't think there's any way to... You know, there's any way to fit in an Isaiah Thomas anyway for going with Russell Westbrook. So, you know, I might as well just not even think about him. But, look, we've seen Avery Bradley have some upside here over the last couple of games, finally getting back into the groove. Al Horford kind of also in that same situation. That's probably where my interest is going to lie. And I'm not going to try to get crazy with anybody else just because, man, that's how the Celtics roll. You know, they spread the ball around. So,
They're back to that crazy stupidity again, aren't they?
Indeed.
Oh, we hated that last year. Now they're back to it. They're getting into playoff mode. That I will say that. They are getting into playoff mode.
Your Eastern Conference leading Boston Celtics, I forgot to mention.
Shut up, really? That took over?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that won't be for long.
Oh, actually it will, because if they win tonight... I think they have it now by like a half game or some stupid stipulation, but if they win tonight, I believe it's official for a day, and then they play the Bulls, and then the Cavs play the Bulls tomorrow.
I was about to say there's no way that it's official yet because there's not enough games or there's too many games left.
I mean,
for
them at least having the top, being in the top spot, not
And you know this is one of those things I think they're really, really kind of gunning for it. They want it. Trust me. I know they do. I guess you could – there's a lot of different guys that you could kind of go to in this situation. I like the Avery Bradley, Al Horford little mix-up there. I think that I'm not going to say his name because then people are going to take it literal. But there's another guy that I'm a little interested in, a little bit, if certain things work out. What are we doing with Jay Crowder?
I didn't even mention him initially, but...
Well, the reason I say that is this, is, yeah, he's not going to shoot 61% from the field again, but You know, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of his last 6 over 30. And he's still only 6,200. This is the Jay Crowder that we thought we were getting the first three quarters of the season and only showed up in sporadic moments. And they're not, they haven't all been like cakewalk matchups. Not like, you know, Milwaukee is a cakewalk or is a bad matchup. But the worst game in there is, you know, Paul against Paul George. But you got Miami, Phoenix, Washington, Philadelphia, and Brooklyn. I mean, those are pretty decent matchups, and this is along that same lines as far as the position.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about these matchups and what's actually going to happen here. Fantasy Labs got stuff all over. I like their way of thinking, but
they're saying that Giannis is on Crowder, aren't they?
On Crowder, yeah. So, but you've also got Isaiah Thomas on Tony Snell. Or Tony Snell on Isaiah Thomas, Brogdon on Bradley, Middleton on Amir Johnson, Al Horford on and Thon Maker, and Crowder in the Greek.
Mm. See, if we're going by that, then I want some Tony Snell and Malcolm Brogdon for Milwaukee.
Okay.
And I don't want any Jay Crowder. So that would mean that I want Avery Bradley, Al Horford, and what has he been doing? His price is tempting. I'm going to have to get back to you on Marcus Smart, but his price is tempting, very tempting, at least on DraftKings where it's $4,900. He's 5,800 on FanDuel. He's off limits.
All right. Well, it seems like Boston, you know, all these guys in the lineup don't have the greatest matchup. But, I mean, look, Avery Bradley against the rookie Brogdon, that might be the best one. Probably not going to like what you see out of his game log. You know, he missed that Friday game against the Suns. And, you know, again, that's why Devin Booker went for so many points. And then, you know, he came back against the Heat, did not play that well. But, I think he might be the best option. There's a lot of
guards
chaos
don't play well
Celtics.
Against the Heat.
A lot of chaos in that Celtics rotation.
Yeah, but again, you have to add in there. The Miami Heat are one of the worst matchups for guards in the NBA right now. So that's a little bit, you know, understandable on why Avery Bradley kind of struggled against Miami. I don't mind if he's going to get the Malcolm Brogdon, Chris Middleton, Tony Snell, and he's not going to see any Giannis, I like Avery Bradley a lot. I generally try to avoid targeting Giannis on the defensive end because of his length. So I'm going to have to look into this a little bit more.
Yes,
because I'm very, 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 like, I thought I had it until you just spouted off what Fantasy Labs had. So look into previous. If I don't make a note, it won't happen.
All right.
With Milwaukee and Boston. Okay.
Unbelievable. What about the Bucks here in this situation?
Malcolm Brogdon, Tony Snell, who I talked about yesterday on the pod, and nobody mentioned him at all day long.
Well, it is Tony Snell.
Yeah, he has one of these games about once every 2 weeks. Here we go. Oh, my gosh. I think Chris Middleton's in a good bounce back spot. He didn't kill us last night. He played a very, very good basketball game, but he didn't contribute in a lot of the other categories in order to fill up the stat sheet. I mean, he only had 5 rebounds and 1 assists. A little bit of that was due to foul trouble. He did pick up 3 fouls in the first half. but he had no blocks, no steals, and that's, I mean, Chris Middleton, we know he's a thief. And he only shot 33% of the field. That's three games under 40% from the field. And he shot 0 from 5 from beyond the arc. If he just hits two of those and just shoots 40%, we're talking about a different game. And gets like one or two steals, which he's usually pretty good about. 4-3-2-2-0-1-2-0-1. So he's usually pretty good in the steals department. Yeah, I don't mind going back to Chris Middleton as a bounce back here.
All right, let's get to the next game on this slate. We've got the Indiana Pacers at the Memphis Grizzlies. I had the line, and I don't know where it is now. Memphis, 5-point favorites in this one, minus 205 on the money line. 196 is our total. That is the second lowest on today's slate. It just came out not too long ago that Marc Gasol is going to be out for this game again. He missed the last couple over there. Let's see. Chandler Parsons, of course, out for the season for the Grizzlies. And then for the Pacers, they just got two whopping injuries come down yesterday. Not in the game yesterday, but it was announced that they'd be out for a while. Al Jefferson and Rodney Stuckey both going to miss extended time. And Glenn Robinson III is still out with that calf injury. So this is the third game in four nights for both teams here. Indiana is on the back end of a back-to-back where they're 5-12 outright this season. The Pacers actually won the only meeting between these two teams, 10-point win in Indiana. Boy, not a lot to like on the surface of this one. If you dig in, is there anything that you do like?
I think there is. Okay. My first question to you is what are we going to do with Monte Ellis? Because here's the situation. Rodney Stuckey, out. CJ Miles sucks. He's CJ Miles. Glenn Robinson out. Aaron Brooks is Aaron Brooks.
I like it. I think he's going to be too popular tonight, especially after what he did last night. I would
really
have
against
to...
Memphis, though.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is another one where quantity is going to
in the grindhouse.
In the grindhouse. Just that price, 4,400, he should get you to value. You want more, all right? You definitely want more. Gave it to you yesterday with 35.3 FanDuel points. I liked him yesterday. I liked a lot of these Pacers yesterday. But, again, yeah, 34 minutes he saw last night. You know, typically not the greatest to come on the back end of a back-to-back. I understand the situation in the grindhouse at Memphis against the Grizzlies, all of those things. But you know he's going to get the opportunity. That's the big thing here. He's going to play 30 minutes.
And he's going to put up double-digit shots. But here's
– it's going to happen.
Here's what I'm sitting here looking at, okay? He's not going to shoot 70-plus percent from the field.
He might not. Again, this is
– I think you're going to be lucky to get –
For your Westbrook users and trying to, you know, fit salary to make it together. But yeah, I expect more of the, you know, the 22 to 25 point range from Monte Ellis. Not yesterday's 35, but again, he's a salary saver and he could hit you value. Again, we're trying to get 30 minutes out of a guy, you know, for 4,400, it's not terrible. I mean, yeah, there probably are better spots that are going to put up more points, but
I just don't know if the ownership is going to be worth it. Okay. If you're, because I was thinking that he was going to be sneaky,
right?
And now you've got me second guessing that.
Well, the fact that he put up 35 last night is what's going to be on people's radars. I mean, you know, I've been talking about Ellis for a while now. But again, that's just somebody to make the salaries fit. So we get our high price guys like Westbrook and all that.
So what do you think that Paul George is going to be at after last night?
Oh, man. See, the price on him is still up there. Again, he's going to be tougher to fit in with a Westbrook. So I would probably make the assumption that Ellis would be higher owned than Paul George. Sure, Paul George will probably see, you know, more Tony Allen than anybody tonight. And again, too, we're talking about Ellis against Memphis's second unit for most of this game. He's probably going to play down the stretch and whatnot.
So but, rank. Let's rank the for. And we're talking about Indiana. And the reason I have so much interest in them is I thought they were going to be a fantastic tournament pivot, especially with the Mark Gasol news. Okay.
Right.
So we're going to rank these four guys. And these are their four main options: Paul George, Jeff Teague, Miles Turner, and Monte Ellis. What is your interest in them, knowing Mark Gasol's out? What is your interest in them, 1 through 4?
Oh man, I think you got to go Ellis, George, Teague. To flip that around, Ellis, George, Turner, Teague.
Wow.
Yeah, because I think you can attack. You can attack Grizzlies down low tonight, right? I mean, Z-Bo, he's a decent defender, but he's certainly not somebody that I'm scared of. And yeah, Jamichael Green, he's probably going to get more minutes when we get to the Grizzlies here in a second. But I like Ellis from the point per dollar or the dollar per point perspective. You know, like I do think we're going to get it. 25 is probably what I'll realistically go with him at. Now that I see, you know, Tony Allen's probably going to get more Paul George, so that should open up more opportunities for Ellis. And again, with the second unit, should be good. Now, what would be a total mind fuck would be, let's say the Pacers want more in their starting lineup and they go with Ellis in the starting lineup. I mean, he has been playing much better than Miles, so that would be an interesting thing to look at. But I don't think they're going to do that. I think they just fuck up everything. I think the Pacers like what they have with Ellis off the bench right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he's not going to play the minutes. I mean, come on, he played 35 minutes last night, so.
And I'm sure he's still going to get minutes while they figure it out. Like, the Pacers just – actually, I saw it scroll across the bottom on FS1, but the Pacers just waived Rodney Stuckey. I mean, you know, he's going to be out.
I think that's more because he's going to be out and they kind of need the roster fighting for playoff positioning. So I think if he was healthy, he'd still be on the roster, so.
Yeah, and then again, too, with just Glenn Robinson being out, that opens up more minutes for Ellis. So, for the foreseeable future, he's going to play a ton.
Yeah, I can see that. So,
all right. What about the Grizzlies in this one?
I think Zach Randolph's going to be chalk again, and with good reason. Especially if he gets some work at the five.
Only 5,600 on FanDuel.
Brandon Wright is interesting. He's going to play close to 20 minutes with Gasol out. He's played 18 and 20. He's played 20 minutes three out of the last four. He hasn't really shown a ceiling yet. It's more, I think it's more of a tournament flyer on DraftKings where he is, I believe, literally min price. He's 3,100. I think it's more there just because of what he can bring you at min price, and there are not a lot of min price options today. Attacking Miles Turner is not something that you should be afraid of doing. The rest of these guys are pretty much off limits as far as, you know, big men down low. It's just pretty much it's a three-man rotation down there. When they go small, they'll put, you know, Jamichael Green at the four and Z-Bo at the five. That's pretty much what they're doing. They'll supplement with a little bit of Brandon Wright. And, I think James Enos or Vince Carter's interesting again. We've seen Carter have, you know, blast from the past type games, you know, every once in a while. Mike Conley is definitely in play tonight.
Yeah, I saw something yesterday that said his usage rate goes down and his fantasy points per minute go down without Gasol in the lineup. But this is a pretty good matchup for point guards against the Pacers lately. So, that's something I would certainly take into consideration.
Yeah, I could see the reasoning why, because he does work very, very well with Mark Gasol. I just don't know if I just don't know if, like, you know, Indiana's the matchup that I'm really, really afraid of, you know, targeting. These are one-offs in your lineups, guys. These are not, you know, playing Gasol and Zebo together. These are not, you know, things like that. These are, you know, one-off tournament options, because I think on a 10-game slate, they're not going to be popular on the Memphis side. I think Zebo is going to be popular, and I don't mind Zebo for cash games, but that's probably about it. I mean, it's not like he's – oh, I guess he did light it up against Sacramento. I was going to say, I mean, he's put up 15 and 18 shots his last two games, and just think about this, okay? He scored 42 DraftKings points, and he only shot 28% from the field. He was 5 for 18. Think if he shoots closer to his 46, 47%.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about a 50 burger. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities tonight. I really, really don't.
No, not at all. I'm worried. I don't know why JaMychal Green only played 21 minutes last game.
It was.
I see you got two fouls. I mean, it was a close game against the Kings. Back in a back-to-back. That's typically when he plays more minutes than Zebo. I don't understand. I do know at times. What is it, Fizdale, the Grizzlies coach? I remember earlier in the season, he would just get so frustrated with JaMychal Green that he would just sit him for periods of time. So I don't wonder if that happened or.
No, I mean, he played 4 minutes and 37 seconds to start out the game. He picked up two fouls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then he didn't come in until the 5:46 mark of the second period. The only bad thing about popcorn machine is it doesn't really tell you what, like, it doesn't give you any defensive statistics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they were being targeted and, you know, kind of just became a turnstile. But his rotation was a little weird on that. It looked like Troy Daniels was in at that time. Corzibo was in at that time. Vince Carter came in around that time. You know, he started off the second half, played a 7-minute, 41-second stretch, was 0 for 3 from the field. With one rebound, one assist. So he wasn't, it just looks like he wasn't doing a lot. He wasn't effective. The first half it was fouls. The second half it looked like it was ineffectiveness. So, his most effective stint was the latter half of the fourth quarter when, he had 4 points and three rebounds pretty quickly.
All right. Anything else from this one, or shall we move it?
Nope, I think we're good.
All right. Dallas Mavericks at the New Orleans Pelicans. We have got a 4.5-point favoritism here for the Pelicans at home in this one, minus 205 on the money line, 200.5. This is our third lowest total of the evening. In this game, let's see here with the injury news. We've got Seth Curry questionable with the shoulder injury.
He said he is playing.
He is playing. All right. So probable will play. And then DeMarcus Cousins for the Pelicans. He's questionable with the ankle injury. Jarrett Jack, Omar Asik, both out with their respective ailments. Also for the Pelicans, this is their third game in four nights. Mavericks do lead the season series. There have been some pretty close games in this matchup. Nothing outrageous, though. Let's take a look at what we got. Let's start it out with the Pelicans here, because if DeMarcus Cousins misses this game again, Anthony Davis probably going to be a hot commodity on today's slate. He did post a massive numbers against Utah in that one, and that was impressive because Utah had really been putting the clamps down on him of late. I thought even just with Anthony Davis in the lineup that, you know, that would probably stay the same because that's what Utah had done. So in this matchup, this is – I mean, if – I think, again, Davis regardless is going to work well because he's going to get that great matchup down low and, you know, we're not going to attack Dallas with guards. It hasn't worked for a while now, so why try again? AD or bust, it could be, and especially at home.
Yeah, I like if this was on the road, if this was in Dallas, then I would probably shy away from playing any Pelicans at all. It doesn't matter if the Boogie's in or not. But you know, Anthony Davis has had some pretty good, some pretty good success against the Dallas Mavericks over his time. So
oh, do share with us.
Well, February 25th, 2017, that was right after the Boogie trade. 59.8 in 39 minutes. He had 39 points, 14 rebounds, a steal, two blocks. Oh, this was in Dallas, by the way. So just take what I just said and just day after Christmas, 51 in 36 minutes. Earlier, looks like the day after Thanksgiving, 58.1 in 40.2 minutes. So yeah, his last 5 matchups, he's averaged 39.5 minutes and 57-58 FanDuel points against Dallas. Yeah, I would think that that's pretty good history.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. I mean, you got me on board already. So, yeah, we've got that great matchup there. Again, I think it's probably going to be AD or bust, just given the fact that, you know, we have all of this.
Let me ask you a question here. Because all of this, except for one, was without DeMarcus Cousins. Does that affect your decision tonight? Because Boogie played in that game on February 25th and played 32 minutes and was had 38 FanDuel points, had 12 points, 15 rebounds.
Okay.
If Boogie's out, we know where we're going. If Boogie's in, does that affect your decision?
I think a little bit, just given the fact of, you know, obviously he's going to get some boo taken off of his plate. And I don't know. I mean, the matchup is still good, no matter
enough
what.
Enough to sway your decision and not play him.
Damn it. Why? The hard questions.
Because that's what we do. We have to give these guys options.
You know, I've already been so set on it. And, you know, you'll probably get lower ownership, too, especially on the same night where, you know, we're going to have Westbrook in the lineup taking up most of our salary.
We have a winner, Johnny.
Yeah, I'd probably still roll with him.
I think as far as Anthony Davis goes, if you want him at the best possible situation, you want DeMarcus Cousins in that lineup because that's going to lower his ownership percentage. And maybe not a lot, but enough to where if he does go for the 58, the 60, if he just holds true to his average, then you're going to receive you're basically going to be getting a better buy than, you know, you would if Boogie was out.
Sure. All right, so anything from the Mav side of things here?
No, thank you.
Okay.
No, thank you.
That works out real well for me, too, because, again, Mavs running a sort of a Boston South kind of thing where they're splitting up a lot of their production between a lot of different players. And, you know, again, I brought this point up a couple of weeks ago, I believe. But, you know, it's been a while since the Mavericks have had anybody score over 40 FanDuel or any 40 of any kind of fantasy
points.
And if they did have one in there, then...
No, well, they had one close. Nerlens Noel the other night. We actually kind of called that one. Nobody for Dallas is playing over, well, I mean, Wesley Matthews did, but that was because Seth Curry was out. Nobody for Dallas is probably going to play over 30 minutes. If Seth Curry does play, nobody's going to play over 30 minutes. These were the minute totals last game. Nerlens Noel, 28. Yogi Ferrell, 32. So he did, but that was because J.J. Barea was pretty much ineffective. And they were down a guard, so they were running a three-man rotation. I mean, when Devin Harris plays 20 minutes, then you know they were struggling. J.J. Barea, 28. Wesley Matthews, 37. But that should be solidified tonight with Seth Curry coming back. Dirk, obviously, 26. Salah Mejri, 18. Harrison Barnes, he played 37, but...
Ah, that's right. Barnes had the 40 on Saturday. But yeah. Just barely. And remember, I said... I got to cover my own tracks here, but I did say a couple weeks ago I said that.
Yeah, so as of right now, no. No interest on Dallas whatsoever. That could change. I need to look into Harrison Barnes and Nerlens Noel a little bit. My first inclination is Harrison Barnes has not been effective with this bigger rotation that's going on because we've got more high usage guys. But if for some reason Dirk were to sit or, you know, that might open up or Barea or Curry or somebody, that might open up a little bit more. But as of right now, no.
All right, fair enough. All right, let's get to the next one here. Probably the game of the night, not necessarily in a fantasy aspect, but overall, we've got the Golden State Warriors at the San Antonio Spurs here. Spurs, 4-point favorites tonight, minus 165 on the money line, 207.5 is the total in this one. Not many injury news that we have yet. DeJounte Murray is going to be out for the Spurs. Draymond Green tweaked an ankle last night. Now this is for the Warriors, but Draymond Green tweaked the ankle last night. He did come back in and play, so he should be fine. James Michael McAdoo, questionable with the head injury. Of course, Kevin Durant out with the knee injury. Golden State is on the back end of a back-to-back where they are 11-4 outright this season. This is also their third game in four nights. And that's all we have for fancy numbers, although the Spurs have won both meetings this season. If you remember opening night, they kicked Golden State's ass by 29, and then they won against the Golden State B team a couple weeks ago by 22 in San Antonio. So, I have not gotten any word yet. My sources have not divulged any information. How about your internet?
Does it scare you that DeJounte Murray is the only injury listed for the Spurs in a marquee matchup game?
Right now, but I think, you know, more information is gonna come to the forefront tonight. As we get a little closer. These guys, like, you know, the Spurs, they haven't been that bad this season. Like, okay, they might have upset us by sitting some people, but at least the news has come out beforehand. I think the Warriors have kind of done the same thing, like, you know, with their main players. At least they give you some heads up that they're not going to be playing, and most of this stuff doesn't happen after lock. So I can give them credit for that. The interesting part about this matchup is, yes, these two are fighting for the top spot here in the West, but make no mistake about it. And Pop, you know, he's done this before where he just doesn't want to show his hand to the opposing team.
Exactly.
There's a damn good possibility. We thought we were going to see this last year with the Warriors and the Spurs in the Western Conference Finals, but your boys had to ruin it.
Right, we did.
Yes, indeed. But this is probably the reality that these two teams will face off in the Western Conference Finals this season. So, the Spurs already do, you know, they have two wins against the Warriors already, so they've got that. I'm not sure if they play a fourth time. I will look into efforting. That real quick. What's up?
I said I'm efforting because I knew exactly where you were going with it. So keep talking. Well, all see, right, let me add my two.
Hold on, this is the third and final meeting. So the Spurs already do have the tiebreaker over them. So there is a possibility we're going to see some sitting.
Yeah. I was doing
Are you
some.
adding music?
No, no, no. The wine is not going with this cheese. There was. See, here's the thing: is it's a 4.5 point spread in San Antonio. I don't think I've ever seen in the last 2 years, 3 years, the Warriors being a 4.5 point dog when having the compliments of Steph, Draymond, and Klay. Somebody is sitting for Golden State.
Okay.
That's just my feeling. It's my gut. There is no confirmation. I did hear word on Twitter last night that there was a possibility that Steph could sit. If any of those big three sit, I'm out. On the whole game, I'm out.
Ooh.
Because that changes the spacing on the floor. It changes the whole dynamic of the Golden State Warriors offense because nobody that is on the bench can do what these starters are doing. Okay? They are playing like they had the last 2 years. The only difference is now we're getting more time out of them in better matchups because they don't have the depth in the bench that they used to.
Right.
Okay? So that's one thing. I need all three of these guys to play in order to have any interest on anybody on Golden State. And really, my only interest then is Draymond Green. And I think he's the one that could sit because of the injury last night. He spent a lot of time in the locker room. A lot of time in the locker room. The last meeting that he played on opening night. Do you remember what he did on opening night? Even in a
No,
Golden State loss.
I don't.
18 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists, 5 steals, 1 block.
Not a bad night.
51.4 FanDuel points. He did that in 32 minutes, mind you.
Wow.
He's the only a guy I have interest in on Golden State. Steph's shot is off. It looked horrible last night until about the fourth quarter.
That's when MVPs show up.
Yeah, but dude, when have we ever known Steph to against a team that he should shoot very well against and historically has in Houston? When have we ever known Steph to go 3 for 11 from the field? He was 1 for 9 at one point.
Don't know, man.
Like he took 22 shots.
I think his shot has been off all season. Yeah, I don't think that this
It's
is,
been hit and miss,
it's a
yes.
new struggle, but I think he's just shooting too cocky, you know? He kind of, like, you don't see as
Oh,
much. I mean, there never
don't talk
really
about the
was.
cockiness because that'll get Slack going.
There was never, like, any effort to his shot, really, but I just more so this year. I
You think
guess,
he's
you know,
trying too hard?
when they're not going in, you know, it kind of you kind of notice the slight
Oh,
effort
shit.
anymore. You know, like in the past, you would say
Oh, shit.
he just shoots without any effort, and you know it
It
goes
looked
in. At least.
effortless, exactly.
And then now this season, it's like, oh well, look, he's not shooting with any effort. That must be the issue. But again,
You want to
there's
know
something.
why the Indiana Pacers waived Rodney Stuckey?
I saw Led Stevenson.
Yeah, 3 years, four or 12 million.
Wow. Welcome back. Welcome back,
The
Lance. Thank you.
the topic on we'll get to this. We'll get back to the Warriors, but I just thought the title was funny. Is the prodigal son returns?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh man. Anyways, yeah, it just normally Steph's shot is kind of effortless and it hasn't been that this year. Klay has always struggled against the Spurs. Like I think he's only got one game where he's put up over 30 fantasy points. if Draymond's out or if Steph is out, I'm out on all of them. I don't care. The spacing changes. I think people are going to be like, are going to go goo-goo and gaga over it and just kind of go after it. I'm kind of out on the whole game, really. If anybody from either team sits, my initial thought is I'm out because I don't see either one of these coaches really, 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 because Golden State can't get the tiebreaker. So they have, they literally, other than seeding, and I think this is one of the reasons why they played so hard last night. And make no mistake about it, they played hard. They now have a 2.5 game lead over the Spurs. They have no reason to play in this game.
Yeah, I mean, we're coming down to the point of the season where we're a little more than a handful of games left, and you know, again, it's tough to comment on this game because we know something's coming, and we just don't know what yet. So.
This is where it pays. 8:30 start.
Yep. This is where it pays to be a member of the DFS Army, folks, because we'll be talking about this in Slack chat all day long.
Yeah. If you add in the fact that this is an hour and a half after lock, sorry, 2.5 hours after lock, and the coaches and what's this should be the like, if these teams were tied or within half a game, and like if the one seed could swing based on tonight's results alone, I think you see both teams kind of go after it a little bit more. But with there being such a, like, and it's not a big gap, don't get me wrong. San Antonio still can get the one seed. But with this game being a gap and San Antonio already having the tiebreaker if it's a tie, if they end up with the same record, I don't see it. Like, if nothing comes out, or if we don't get any word, I'll give you my ifs, ands, or buts scenario in Slack for our members. But other than that, I'm out right now. The only thing that I think could sway this is if somehow Kevin Durant makes his return tonight.
Ha! Good one.
Which Golden State is supposed to... Golden State is supposed to kind of give us an update on his injury a little bit later on this afternoon after shoot-around.
Yeah, I've heard some rumblings from beat writers that they've been watching Kevin Durant work out before these games, and they said he looks really good. So
yeah,
I believe they said like the last three games of the regular season, they'll probably have him back to kind of work within the offense and just get a rhythm going. So all right,
isn't that what I told you yesterday?
Maybe.
Sorry.
Maybe I heard.
All right, let's go. We've got two more games to get to, and we'll get out.
Utah at Sacramento. Jazz 7.5-point favorites here, -330 on the money line. Over/under 194.5 is tonight's lowest of the slate. Let's talk about some fun stats and facts in this game. We have got the Jazz do lead the season series. Keep in mind, the last two times that these teams played, it was a 1-point game. Sacramento somehow won a game in Utah, and Utah won at Sacramento last time. This is the third game in four nights for the Sacramento Kings. They're going to have Malachi Richardson out, and Aaron Aflalo is questionable for personal reasons. And then for the Jazz, this is going to make some difference in what happens here tonight. But Gordon Hayward is questionable with the quadricep injury. Derek Favors already ruled out with the knee injury. I'll start with the guys in purple. Oh, wait, they're both in purple. That sucks.
No, the Jazz are in green now, remember? They changed their color scheme a couple years back.
No, they rock purple. They rock purple. They rock purple, man. Anywho, if Gordon Hayward's out for this one, that's going to open up a lot of things for George Hill, Rudy Gobert. Remember, Sacramento pretty good on defense down low, but Rudy Gobert, it has not mattered who he's played lately. He's just been a boss, just a savage boss is how I'll describe it. But
This is obviously where all the interest lies.
Yeah, I could see that. I have a little bit of interest in some other pieces as well, but mostly as fill-ins. Gordon Hayward being out. Not that Gordon Hayward is, you know, a bad play, but he's not the hands down play that I think people are kind of hoping he could be going in on the road, where he's not performed quite as well. This is a, you know, faster paced game and everything, but coming off of an injury. If Gordon Hayward's out, I love Joe Ingles and Joe Johnson for that matter. Joe Ingles played 35 minutes last game. He's all the way up to 4,300, which isn't bad, but Joe Johnson played 31 minutes as well. I don't know if we're going to get word on Gordon Hayward. I think he's a true game time decision. I think they're going to wait till shoot around. I don't mind taking a shot on Joe Ingles and Joe Johnson in separate lineups if I'm making multiple lineups tonight either.
All right. Let's see here. Yeah, everything's going to come down to Gordon Hayward there. So, I mean, Vegas already has him as 7.5-point favorite. So maybe, you know, they know that's telling us something with Hayward, him playing. I think regardless of the situation, you know, we've seen Sacramento play some pretty good games here, even though they are, you know, obviously not going to the playoffs. But, you know, the new core that they got, they're playing pretty well together. They're at least competitive in some of these games. So that is something to take into consideration. But again, I think Utah is just going to be too much for them in tonight's game. And Vegas has kind of already laid that out. Maybe some Buddy Hield. You know, I don't think you're going to be attacking Utah down low, but the Kings are certainly not going to get shut out. So I think there is some interest there.
Yeah, if I want to attack the Jazz, it's going to be with the guards. So Buddy Hield is firmly on the radar. He's played, you know, 30. I mean, he's been playing very, very well. When everybody threw up their arms in angst about the Kings wanting Buddy Hield in their deal, they didn't really think that, you know, he was a good player. I got to watch him at OU for 4 years. I know what he's capable of doing. I know it's just a transition into the NBA. And one, it's a lot of it had opportunity because of the fact that, you know, he wasn't a part of the offense in New Orleans. I mean, they had Etuan Moore, they had Anthony Davis, Drew Holiday, Tyreek Evans. I mean,
every guard that ever played in the NBA was in the Pelicans rotation this season.
Exactly. So
everyone,
when, and make no mistake about it, when you're, they were a team that thought that they could compete for a, you know, a Western Conference top five playoff spot, top five seed. And it just, so him getting to play is good for him. He might be one of the only Kings that I really have any interest in. Now, here's the question. Is Willie Cauley-Stein? Everybody there, I can't. Everybody was all on this Scal Labissiere train, and I kept, you know, just rocking Willie Cauley-Stein. And I like him more on DraftKings because he's $5,000 compared to the 61 on FanDuel because he's priced down. But everybody was like, you know, Scal, Scal, Scal. And I'm sitting here going, guys, Willie Cauley-Stein's better than Scal is. And sure enough, Willie Cauley-Stein's continuing to play 30-plus minutes a game. And Scal is not played 10 in his last two. Oh, I'm sorry. He didn't play 10 the last game against Memphis.
I just saw the picture you sent for the Jazz green. I know that they rock the green. I'm just saying. Purple is still their main color. No?
Okay.
I can't believe we're breaking down Utah fashion. But hey, it matters to us, folks.
So, yeah, I don't... I mean, look, if you want to talk about on FanDuel where you can go for value is to Sacramento. Because none of them, like the highest priced guy is Willie Cauley-Stein at 6,100. Like, seriously. I mean,
I did not say you were lying. No, absolutely. But again, that it's just such a tough matchup. But
they're getting the minutes. And at that price and the ownership, even if they don't like go bonkers. Like, if we're talking, okay, Kostas Koufos is $4,300, okay? Say he plays 30 minutes and gets you 25 at 2% owned. Are you going to be happy with that?
Of course.
I mean, and are you saying that even though it is against Rudy Gobert, if he plays 30-plus minutes, is 25 not out of the realm of possibilities considering what we've seen out of Kostas Koufos?
Of course not, but... I mean, I brought up the quantity over quality earlier with Monta Ellis. And there was a little bit of pushback.
No, I was pushing you back based on the ownership that you were thinking.
Okay.
Not because of the play.
Oh, yeah, I like the play. Yeah, low ownership. Anybody against Utah, that's happening. That is happening.
See, and that's what I was thinking about Memphis as well. And that's why you got the pushback. It was because you think that he's going to be higher owned than I think he's going to be. Not because I agree with the play. I just don't agree with the projected ownership. We know that nobody's going to have, especially with the Clippers and Washington playing the other game at this same time. We know that nobody's going to own any of these Kings.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's going to be a tough sell.
I think one of these three, whether it be Willie Cauley-Stein, Kostas Koufos, or Buddy Hield, could win you a tournament tonight.
Mm-mm-mm.
Could be that final like push at lower ownership to where if you've got them supplemented with like a Blake Griffin or a John Wall or a Bradley Beal or somebody like that, that could help you rocket up the leaderboard even more.
Right. Yeah. No. It will certainly be a shot in the dark. But hey, we don't mind taking those around her.
Nope.
All right, let's get to the last game of the night. We got the Washington Wizards at the Los Angeles Clippers. Clippers, 6-point favorites in this one, minus 245 on the money line. 220 total is what we got here. Washington on the back end of a back-to-back, came from behind and beat the Lakers last night in a thriller. Wizards did beat the Clippers earlier this season. That was a 7-point win in Washington. As I mentioned, for the Wizards, they are on the back end of a back-to-back. 7-9 outright, they are on the back end of back-to-backs. No major injuries for them. For the Clippers, though, they're the only team on tonight's slate that is on the front end of a back-to-back. They're at Phoenix tomorrow night. 8 games over 500 against the spread as a favorite this season. Pretty good against the spread record overall as well. J.J. Redick is questionable, though, with the ankle injury. That could do some things. We'll talk about it right now. We'll start with them. It is Chris Paul bobblehead night, though, so that is interesting. My favorite play, though, on this team, Blake Griffin. Power forwards against the Wizards have been so money, and they know it. Is that what you're thinking, too?
Yeah, that's a way you can go. You can also, I think, go with DeAndre Jordan. Blake scares me a little bit just because he hasn't really been the Blake Griffin that we come to expect.
He's not the Kia commercial Blake Griffin.
You know, he's been his high is 43.
You're right over there.
Yeah, I was thinking about something. I mean, he's taken more threes than he probably should be. He's not really rebounding a lot because DeAndre Jordan's been in there rebounding. You know, I just at the price, I don't mind it at all on DraftKings. I'm finding it very difficult to spend $8,600 on Blake Griffin.
Yeah, I mean, when you break down the matchups, right? So over the last couple games,
you know, let's go back to the one against the Lakers. That was a blowout game. He gets ejected there. Game against Dallas, just a weird set of circumstances. His shot wasn't falling. DeAndre was grabbing all the rebounds. Against Utah, not the greatest matchup. Against the Kings, you know, not a particularly great matchup, but one that they, you know, he should have done well. So there are a weird set of circumstances with him there. And, you know, this is weird because Griffin, you know, he's just – he's doing enough, you know. He's not, you know, we don't see the massive upside with him, and that
he's not hurting you every night, but he's not really
right
winning it for you either.
When
you know?
when he came back from that injury, you know, I think there were what, two games that it took him to get back in the groove, but after that, I mean, we saw probably a Blake Griffin, probably one of the best Blake Griffins we've ever seen. But it is weird to see him in this circumstance. And you know, even, you know, we look at those games in that game log against the Cavs and the Knicks. He played very well, but, you know, his time kind of got clipped off a little since they were blowing those two teams out. So, yeah, it's weird to see him below 30 over the last four games here. I mean, you could attribute some bad matchups, blots, whatever. But, again, this is it's been such a great matchup for so many people before. You know, and we talked about Markieff yesterday just being this lazy son bitch. So hopefully, you know, this could be the night. I think you'll get lower ownership on Blake.
Or both of these guys are going to get ejected in the first 15 minutes.
I would hope not. I would hope not. But, yeah, you'll certainly have an interesting choice to make with Blake or, you know, Anthony Davis there in a great matchup against the Mavericks.
Yeah, I don't know. I like Blake.
Wait. One thing to another. This is power forward related, so that's why I had to bring it up. I just saw Jamichael Green questionable with the shoulder strain, so that could put even more ownership on Z-Bo.
Oh God! As if this freaking night wasn't getting chalky enough. I can definitely see everything that you're talking about. I really, really can. Yeah, I think that we're gonna have to go back to it one more time.
Okay.
Like, I think this is a classic case of maybe even more than one time is to keep buying low, because as his price is dropping, like you said, it's not like he's playing bad. He's just not exceeding his salary expectations.
Right.
So I think we have to keep buying until he blows everybody out of the water, because, you know, we can capitalize off that recency bias. On the other hand, we have Blake going down and DeAndre going up.
Yep.
Jesus.
No coincidence.
Yeah, no coincidence at all. You have to play one or the other. I don't think you can play both in the same lineup. And like we've said before, I think pairing them with Chris Paul is a fantastic idea.
Yes. Now, here's an interesting scenario, right? So point guards against the Wizards haven't been doing their thing with expectations, but you had D'Angelo Russell last night have a pretty good game.
There's a reason behind that. And I know where you're going, so finish where you're going. I'll tell you the reason.
I think I was kind of ending there, but I was going to say too, you know, point guards haven't been doing that well, but you do get the Wizards on the back end of a back-to-back, and I feel like any team can really be had on defense on the back end of a back-to-back. Of course, there's a, you know, handful of circumstances where that's not the case, but, you know, I'd rather take my chances, you know, against the Wizards on the back end of a back-to-back than not.
Yeah, I thought you were going to add in there, you know, the bobblehead scenario. Here's the situation is D'Angelo Russell played a lot of that game at the two. So, like, when they were running Tyler Ennis and Jordan Clarkson out there at the one, and D'Angelo Russell was playing at the two a lot. Now, he was playing at the one. It was about 50-50. He was playing at the one, too, but, I mean, it's not like he was, like, Chris Paul very, very rarely plays off the ball, you know, so that's a little bit different of a scenario, but I do agree with you, you know, we've kind of got to take a stand here, I think. I agree with you wholeheartedly that I think one of the one of the biggest issues is teams on the back end of a back-to-back. Now, it's not technically a back-to-back because all they did was, you know, go back to their hotel. They didn't have to travel, considering it's there at the Staples Center.
Yeah, I think being in L.A. an extra night is probably the same amount of toll on your body as travel, though, no?
I wouldn't say so after they almost got their ashes. Make no mistake about it. The Wizards were outplayed for 3.5 quarters of that game last night.
Yeah.
Like, it was not even close. And then the Lakers did what they needed to do. They turned around, they tanked and lost. And they let the Wizards win. I think that I'm not playing John Wall, obviously, going up against Chris Paul. I will play some Bradley Beal. I will play some Chris Paul. Not that it's a good matchup like we talked about, but I think pairing him with a Blake or a DeAndre can help you, or even with a J.J. Redick. I mean, even if you want to go that route as well.
Well, one thing I wanted to bring up here, too. So if J.J. Redick is not going to play tonight, right, since got the questionable tag with the ankle injury,
Jamal Crawford. I would like
Bradley Beal actually a lot in this scenario because they're probably going to move Austin Rivers to
the two.
In that situation. And he is god-awful on defense. I mean, you saw what teams were
doing.
Well,
it's not like J.J. Redick or Jamal Crawford are any better.
No. I mean, I feel like Redick puts more effort into his defense. You know, again, more of a pain in the ass than a better defender. And, you know, that's a situation that we could take advantage of. You know, it's not always the guy on the team that benefits from, you know, that guy being out. It could be the opposition, too, from less of a pain in the ass on defense. I mean, yeah, Austin Rivers was just getting torched while Chris Paul is out of the lineup. I know, you know, against a different position, but I've seen Beal with some pretty good upside before.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and I want with John Wall to keep in mind he's posted 2 straight 60-plus fantasy point games, but remember that those were against the Cavaliers and the Lakers, two of the most advantageous spots for a point guard. Certainly not going to be the case tonight against Chris Paul. But again, I think that's where more usage will go to Bradley Beal in this spot, and that could work if Redick is out.
Yes.
All right. Anything else, or are we done?
We're done, brother.
We done. All right. Once again, remember, if you're not joined up with the DFSArmy.com, make sure you do. Well, the DFS Army, go to DFSArmy.com and do so. Use the promo code podcast to get you 20% off each month. If you sign up with us, you get to chat with me, Keith, Kevin, Taco, Burnsy, Chapadong, all the big names, Syracuse even. You know, you get all the names here in the Army that you get to talk with on a regular basis. It's a really cool experience that I don't think a lot of sites out there really offer to their subscribers. So once again, DFSArmy.com, use the promo code podcast. That gets you signed up. Only 5 games, I believe, on tomorrow's slate. So we are questionable for tomorrow's podcast. If we do it, we do it. If not, then, you know, you'll still hear our wonderful words on the Slack chat out there. So, you know, we'll keep you guys updated on that. But for me and Keith, we go. See ya.
Peace out.